You're listening to Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers with your hosts Greg Barrett and Kane Holloway.
Welcome to the program. I don't think we've welcomed anybody to the program in a while. Usually we're just talking.
Yeah, straight up.
Usually we just ramble.
Yeah, it's either about Batman or The Bachelor, the two B's in our life.
Yeah, or Great British Bake Off.
Oh, that's true, the other one.
Yeah. Are you going to watch the four-hour Zack Snyder cut? You are going to watch it, aren't you?
Yeah, I have to watch it. What, are you crazy?
I kind of have to, too, but I don't think I'm going to like it.
No, of course not. It's going to be so
I hated Batman versus Superman.
It's so bad.
I don't know why people think it's going to be so good.
No, it's not. It's not going to be good at all. But I can't wait.
But I read this week that when Joss Whedon's cut was done, everyone at the studio thought it was shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Flop on their hands.
Yeah, Joss Whedon is crap and I hate him.
He's not going to be working again anytime soon.
No, and good. But you know who is working? You know who's crushing it right now?
Who's that?
She's a love advocate.
A self-love advocate.
She wants you to shit on your ex's name, literally. If you've been to any one of our webinars, if you've been to hers, she's got a book coming out called How to Win Your Breakup. Natasha Adamo is here.
And you have to mention that Greg edited the book. I don't have any other editors. He edited it.
Yeah. And I can edit your book. If you have a book and it needs editing, even if it's 30 pages long and you try and convince me that it's a book and I keep telling you it's only 30 pages and then you yell at me.
What? Why do you keep telling secrets about our interactions?
I literally had somebody turn in a book that was 30 pages long and tell me that was a book and that if anybody wanted more, she'd just write another one. how do you argue with that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to write a 30-page book.
Was it double space 30 pages?
Yep.
So it was really like a 15-page book.
At best.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice. Natasha, do you watch superhero movies?
I have. I don't, you know, it's not a pastime of mine or anything, but I mean, I have. I'm not super familiar.
So you don't have an opinion on the Zack Snyder movie? You don't have an... You don't care.
I don't know who Zack Snyder is. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I just think that's so funny.
The only movie she has to watch sometime is The Lighthouse.
Yes, you have to watch The Lighthouse.
Okay, I'll put that on my list.
It's actually a prerequisite for just being within the show's, the Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers universe, is you have to have seen or at least heard of The Lighthouse.
Well, thank you for having such a disqualified person on.
You're welcome. We got a good question about...
Wait, hold on, Kane. Kane.
Yeah.
You cannot introduce me as first a love advocate, then self-love advocate, and then tell the audience that I literally want them to shit on their ex's name and not allow me to explain that. I mean... kind of a terrible introduction.
Are you sure it's not perfect to just have them go, what does that mean?
Then, you know, just humiliate me and disqualify me from being in your, you know, your guys' orbit here. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry, Natasha. I should have done the intro.
Fuck off.
I should have done the intro.
You know what? I'm not going to be ganged up on the show today. It's not going to be Team Greg with Natasha.
Would you like me to explain?
Could you please? That would be wonderful. It's my favorite thing.
Sure. So, Kane, you were part of a digital event I did a few months ago, and my mom was speaking at it. Greg was at it speaking as well. And, you know, my mom is, her background is scholastic. I don't have any kind of, my education is not academic, it's experiential. And my mom is coming up with all these incredible concepts. And out of all the concepts she's ever taught me and instilled in me, I bring up the one and, you know, she just gets bright red. And then when she saw everyone's reaction, especially yours, Kane, she absolutely loved it. But when I was going through a terrible breakup, I was driving her up a wall. It was just everything she said. It was just, it was like being in the courtroom with Johnny Cochran. I was just checkmating her. And she finally got so sick of it. She gave me a magic marker and she gave me toilet paper. And she said, go to the bathroom, take a square of toilet paper, write his name on the square, put it in the toilet, do your business over it and flush. And I thought, oh, this is so crazy. And, you know, there is an old yogic proverb saying, I believe, that says, when you cannot move the mind, move the body, the mind will follow. And when you cannot emotionally flush, you become emotionally constipated. With constipation comes a desperation for laxative. So you'll look for a laxative in the form of doing things that wouldn't be so great for your reputation, you know, reaching out to an ex, all that kind of stuff, drunk dialing, all that kind of stuff. And I am very familiar with a lot of what people in my field do. And, you know, they've got, they fill up stadiums and they've got people jumping up and down and gyrating and walking through fire and all of that. And I think that that's so incredible. It gets the endorphins up. It gets all that stuff up. But I am telling you right now, it would not matter if we resurrected Sigmund Freud. There is nothing more gratifying than doing your business over a terrible person's name and flushing. It feels really great. It works with toxic friends, toxic family members. It's healthy. It's private. And it's also humorous. And I think that, you know, laughter really is the best medicine in a lot of ways. People always ask me, oh, how can you stand this person? How can you be around them? And it's just like, well, little do they know, I'm going to go to the bathroom eventually and they'll be on the toilet paper. So it's worked really well. And I remember you saying, I remember you were just lighting up when I said it at the event, Kane, and you mentioned how the first person you were going to take a shit on would be your own name. So I hope that worked out well. And
it did. Sometimes I need to put myself in check. And then I wrote Greg's name down, and then I wrote my dad's. They were on the same roll of toilet paper over. It was, the toilet paper roll was over, and then I wrote Greg, and then I wrote my dad's name, and then I shit on both of them. And now Greg and I have a much better working relationship, don't we, Greg?
What were you talking about?
Such a dickhead.
What were you saying? I'm sorry.
I've had so much bran for breakfast. You're going to get it later.
No, but it really does work well. I have clients, and it's worked so well with them on their exes. They've actually taught their children how to do it, and their kids are getting bullied at school, and it's helped them so much. So, you know, it's not hurting anybody. It's private. It's healthy. It encourages hydration and a fibrous diet, and it's really gratifying.
Yes. Natasha is one of our favorite people. I don't know if I mentioned it at the top of the show. I'm sure I already did, but we talk about you all the time.
Yeah.
On the show. And so we're just glad now that you get to be on the show.
I'm so happy to be on. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So we got a question in. We posted that you were going to be on the show. And so, of course, we got some great responses. We got one from Sind. She's actually written into the show before. She wrote us on DTBFF podcast on Instagram. She says, hi guys, me again. I have a question or an issue. So I've been dating this guy I've known for many years, like 20 plus years. Things are good, except he's going through a divorce. When we reconnected, he was in the process of a divorce. His wife cheated on him and he caught her. This happened in 2019. They have two beautiful daughters, which I love. The issue is he's still hurt. He talks about what happened or about her more than I would like to know. Since she found out about me, she started to make his life miserable. They did hook up casually sometime in September of 2020, but it was just sex. Maybe she thought eventually they would get back together. I don't know. My question is, am I being the fucker when I ended up getting upset due to hearing about her? What is my role supposed to be? Sometimes when I've gotten upset about something he says, he'll say, I don't want to compare you, but you're just like her. So basically, am I not being empathetic enough? He says, I'm the only person he can vent to. Thank you, Sin. Wow. Well.
Wow. Well, I think she's letting, I mean, possibly I would, you know, need to know more details, but I think she's letting history dictate her tolerations and what she tolerates. I mean, And there's no judgment here. There's absolutely no judgment. You know, I talk to people all the time. They're having affairs or they've been cheated on, you know, both sides of the gate here. But you've been mistreated consistently and you've been gaslit and you're with someone who, in my opinion, is extremely selfish. And you got to look at what you've been tolerating. It's not making you feel good. It's not good for your mental health. And you're not in a twosome. You're in a threesome.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and it doesn't matter how incredible his daughters are. It doesn't matter how incredible he is in the moments that he's incredible. What matters is this is still someone who is so entwined in so much shit and can't even stop talking about it. I would get out.
I would get out too.
Yeah, life is short.
Yeah. There's also that thing of like getting a divorce and divorced.
Yes.
Are two different things. Getting a divorce is not divorced. Divorced is divorced. Mm-hmm. And he has not, in the meaning of the word, divorced himself from the situation in any way. So he's right. Still together with this girl, really.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're playing around on your time.
They are. The fact that he will bring up in conversations fighting that you don't even have your own identity, that you're a lot like her. You may or may not be exhibiting behavior like her. I don't know either one of you to make that distinction. But I would say, if I'm looking at this from your perspective, I would say he's not over her. So to get into a fight with any woman at this point, I'm just like, oh, they're all the same. All the women are just like my ex-wife. They all fight the same. They're all the same. See, he's just not over her. The fact that he keeps slipping up and having sex with her and, like, coming back with, like, his hat in his hand for you to be like, yeah, it was just sex. It's pretty meaningless. Yeah, but also it means something to him.
Yeah, it definitely could be that. Or, and I'd like you guys to chime in because I'm not a man, but I've definitely been a very selfish and unhappy and toxic person myself. It could be that he's triangulating. Some people, their emotional survival depends on how much they can get others to fight for their attention, to compete for them, so to speak. It may be that this mm-hmm. person, and I'm not saying this from, you know, some sort of like activism standpoint. I'm saying this more from like a psychological standpoint. It may be that this person has maternal issues, that he's angry at women and doesn't even know it. And so he's consciously and subconsciously triangulating, because the only way his ego can continue to carry on and get proverbial oxygen is by being in a triangle.
Sure.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know.
That absolutely could be true.
Yeah.
He's just not that into you. I mean, it just is the truth.
Yeah, that's very true. I would recuse yourself from the situation.
Yes. Yes.
I would bounce.
And yeah. The answer is in your question. I mean, read the question and read it from a bird's eye view. You know, take your emotions out of it and read it as though maybe I was writing it, or, you know, Greg or Kane, you know, you would be horrified. You would be absolutely horrified.
Yeah, whatever thing about his wife, he may come across and say like, well, it's just like my current wife, soon to be ex-wife. He's still there in his mind and his body, just through his actions. He's still there trying to repair it in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, fuck him.
Fuck him.
Fuck him.
We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, are you sick of taking bullshit from fuckers and want direct help from Kane or myself? We hold a bi-monthly workshop on Zoom for people who not only want to stop taking bullshit from fuckers, but want to recognize fuckers before they even smell the bullshit. We've helped many people from our workshops. Previous attendees have said, I'm so happy this event was an honest and genuine event led by amazing people. Kane and I would be the amazing people in that sentence. I got so much more out of this than I ever could have imagined. So go to donttakebullshitfromfuckers.bigcartel.com to secure your seat and stop taking bullshit from fuckers. You can also find this link in the show's description.
This is the theme song for What Does This Mean Song. The theme song for What Does This Mean Song. We'll read a self-help quote and they're definitely not memes. Memes are something completely different than quotes. Quotes are supposed to help you through all the bullshit in your life. And memes are like that poster of that cat hanging from a tree. And it says, hang in there, baby, or Mondays, am I right? Mondays, am I right? So if you can think of a different title, then we'll probably change it.
The subject heading is Mondays, am I right? Hello, DTBFF crew. Found your podcast quite by accident, and I have been hooked ever since the first time I listened. Not a fan of your What Does It Meme theme song, but love the content and the commentary. I read an interesting quote / non-meme that might fit into the theme of your show, and I wanted to share it. Keep teaching us how not to take bullshit, and thanks for so many great laughs. Smart and funny is the best listen. Thanks, Joe Trout. And his meme he sent in is, I've never seen any life transformation that didn't begin with the person in question finally getting tired of their own bullshit.
Yeah, that works. I like it.
Okay. Natasha, do you like that meme?
I do.
Well, Joe, you're wrong. And Joe, if you could read your own meme from a bird's eye view, you should get tired of your bullshit not liking my meme song, motherfucker. How about that? Aisha says, hey there, coming to you all the way from sunny England. I just wanted to say thank you so much for the podcast. I came over from GGE a while ago, and I was in a relationship for a long time, but I finally managed to end it. I actually ended it on New Year's. You guys have really helped me work out what it is and isn't bullshit and how I should and should not allow myself to be treated. I'd listen to the emails you read out and be like, wow, these people are fuckers. Why are they taking their bullshit? And then I realized that I was dealing with exactly the same behavior. So I decided I had to stop taking bullshit from my ex, and now I'm free and I feel so much better. Thanks again. P.S. The meme song is the best. Aisha, what up, son? Bam! We got a meme in. Geekiana, she says, inhale courage, exhale doubt.
Sure. Inhale courage, exhale doubt. Take a deep breath. Inhale some courage.
Inhale
hold
some
it in.
Courage.
Take a breath. Let it out. Yeah.
Wow. Now I don't have any doubt. L sent one that says, it's a tweet that says, fuck nudes. Send me a dated invoice from your therapist so I know you're working on yourself.
That I like.
That's a good one.
That I like.
That is a damn good one.
That would be a funny thing to send back to somebody if they sent you a dick pic.
Yeah.
That would be so perfect.
That would be really funny. Mandy Rose 04 said, just listened to last week's episode with Raina so I could be caught up for tomorrow, and all I have to say is whoever was breathing loud as fuck, I love you, but this quote I saw yesterday was all I could think about the whole time, so I thought I'd share. Love you all, can't wait for tomorrow's episode. And the one she sent was, do you ever hear someone breathe and think, shut the fuck up?
And we all know who the heavy breather was. It was
that
Kane.
That was me. I'm sorry. I don't have any excuse. No excuses. I'm just sorry. Brody said, hey, change the name of the podcast to Come On Man with Greg Behrendt's Kane Holloway. Because every time I bring, like, or try a joke out or try to, like, have a thought that I can't complete, I always end my sentences with, come on, man.
Come on, man. Yeah. There's a long stare followed by come on, man. You say something and then I stare at you and then you eventually say come on, man.
Come on, man. What if that was a t-shirt? I think that'd be a fucking, that'd be a fine t-shirt.
I do have a quote. It's from Natasha Adamo.
Oh!
Yeah. And it says, them, you can't just cut people off. Me, snip, snip, snippity, snip.
That's wonderful.
That's a good one. I knew I had one.
I found that someone sent it to me. I couldn't locate the source, but it just made me laugh so hard. I loved it.
Natasha, are you a Sex and the City fan?
Yes, I am. I am. I haven't kept up too much after the first movie came out. I don't know if I'm going to watch the reboot, but yes.
Well, so big news. We got this from Linda. Sent this in because we talked about Sex and the City a few episodes ago, and my obscure impression of one of the best characters on the show, which is Miranda's boyfriend Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, Steve is not coming back. Either.
I heard Big. I heard Big wasn't coming back too.
Right.
No Big. No Steve. But she says no Steve, but there's good stuff. But there's good stuff here. That's my favorite Steve line. Miranda breaks up with Steve, and he's like, "There's good stuff here."
Do you know if is Aiden coming back?
I don't know. I'm not coming back, so I don't know any of this stuff.
Greg, you'd be good as one of Carrie's beaux, one of Carrie's love interests.
Oh, like when she falls in love with a podcaster?
Carrie
falls in love with a guy who has a podcast.
Yeah.
And thinks that's going to be his future.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys feel this way at all or how much you've watched Sex and the City, but there is an energy about Aiden that is so Greg. It's unbelievable to me. Aiden for me, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. A few of his mannerisms and his energy, I just see Greg.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I do.
I rooted for him. For Aiden. I was a big...
I did up until a point. I mean, my God. You know, he became... And obviously, this is not the part of Aiden that I, you know, immediately think of Greg. It was more of his energy. But it just got to a point where he became such a doormat that I just stopped rooting for him because it wasn't attractive.
He was cuckold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not cool. Not cool, bro.
I think
but
we...
Steve was great.
Steve, Miranda.
You know who I really liked? I liked Miranda's neighbor who was the doctor for the Knicks, and he ended up putting the tampon up Steve's nose. Do you remember him?
Yes. Yeah. And then Miranda ends up falling back in love with Steve.
Yes.
And then she has to live like across the hall from him after that.
And he starts dating Steve's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, and they have like a threesome. She like goes down and he opens the door and he's got like two women in his room.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that guy did not take that breakup well. He was pissed. Linda wants to hear Steve say, "I was really counting on that fake ball thing." There's a fucking episode that's so weird to me. Where Steve loses one of his testicles. He has testicle cancer. He loses one of his testicles. So then he has to go get a fake testicle. So then he brings Miranda with him. They're not together anymore, but she's the one that like knows his testicles the best. And then so the doctor's like, "We got a small testicle, a medium testicle, and a large testicle." And Miranda's like, "I'm thinking like probably the medium." And then Steve looks all butthurt that she would say that. And he's like, "I was thinking maybe the large testicle." Like, he's all upset about it. And I'm like, "Yo, why do you want large balls, dog? That's not, you don't want large balls."
You're not a pit bull.
Yeah, why don't you relax, you fucking weirdo? You wear so many basketball shorts, they're going to come out. Oh, the show's Amira hit us up. She says, "Hey, it's Amira. This is my Finsta." Do you know about Finstas, Greg and Natasha?
Yes.
No.
I'm learning about Finstas. They're fake Instagrams, so you can stalk your ex and stuff.
Oh, my God. That just sounds like such a hassle.
It does.
My Instagram is a fake Instagram, really.
That's true. She says, "A follow-up to my email, I was just thinking..." Oh, this is about Great British Bake Off. She says, "I was thinking Prue from Great British Bake Off would be a great nominee for the Bachelor spinoff series dating show. She has my vote. You guys should nominate her for when the Bachelor Nation does the senior season."
They just got to black people, and now they're going to do seniors?
Yeah.
They were worried that if they had black people on the show's ratings would tumble.
Right.
Now they're going to put old people on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nobody wants to see old people date.
No. I don't want to see old people do anything.
And I say that as an old person.
Yeah. I turn my video off a lot of the time when we're doing this. What do you think, Natasha? What do you think about The Bachelor and like that whole shit? Like the show in general, as a show that's so popular about the idea of dating, people will get wrapped up in these relationships that seem very phony.
I think there's so much more that goes into it. I have a lot of clients who have been on The Bachelor, who have been on Bachelor in Paradise, and when you are that isolated, and also you have to ask, okay, you know, what is it that even got these people to want to audition for the show? Okay, I do believe there's a good portion who are looking for true love. There's always bad apples, you know, for more narcissistic reasons. They want fame or whatever opportunity that accompanies it. But when you're that cut off, and you're forced to really compartmentalize to keep your sanity, it becomes more about winning than it does about connecting, because chances for connection are extraordinarily limited. And when you are with each other and feel a connection, it's probably more sexually based than it is intimacy, you know, because something can feel very intense, but that doesn't mean it's a soulmate intimate connection.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I just think it's like setting yourself up to fail. I think the best thing that can come out of being on the show is getting some notoriety and doing something good in the world, aside from truly finding true love, as I know Trista and Ryan have, incredible people, and among so many other couples. I think it's a fun franchise to watch. I've grown up with it, but would I go on it? No. I don't like going into situations where, you know, it's that stacked up against you, you know, but I've been there before where it's like you so desperately want to know you can be the exception to something or you can win something or, you know, you just want to find true love. Who knows?
But it's so absurd the way that it winds down, where they have them go and meet the families, which is all super premature. And then they break it down into fantasy suites. So that The Bachelor is fucking all three of the final contestants.
Well, they're all having sex with each other at that point. You know what I mean? Like, it's like...
They're all fucking, yeah, right. Yeah, and then, yeah. And they have to know that they're not the only person having sex.
That's what I was talking about the compartmentalizing. I mean, you got to really want to win. You've got to really... Because with true love, I mean, I don't know for me personally if true love would even have a chance to form if I knew the night before, just in a different fantasy suite, you know, that this guy had been having sex with someone else. I mean, if you have to turn a blind eye to the person that a body part is attached to, how good can the sex really be? How good can the connection really be?
Yeah. Before we get out of the segment, I got one more. I forgot it was sent to my personal Instagram. From Leslie Bloom, she says, men claim they want a girl with a good personality, but then get mad when you give them several. How ungrateful. That's pretty funny.
That's a good one.
We got one from Tammy, who's got three separate different little things she wants help and advice on, and then also wants to give some advice. She says, hi guys, a few different items to share. One, how do I release my energy from a true fucker? Married, kept in the shitty on and off cycles for 9 months, and I know it's going nowhere, but just can't let go. Please don't say you'll find someone else, because I don't want someone. I want him, even though it's killing me.
And he's married. I hate this question.
I know. Married. How do I release my energy from a true fucker? Married. Kept me in a shitty on and off cycle for 9 months. And she doesn't want us to say, fuck him, go find someone else.
Stay in it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, then stay in it. Stay in it. It'll work out. Keep hoping.
Yeah. Like, you know when you find yourself in a dumpster? You know, like when you find yourself knee-deep in a dumpster filled with shit and garbage? And if you find a blanket, just cozy up inside it.
Then take a match and set it on fire.
Set it on fire. Live in there.
With you in it.
There you go.
Thoughts, Natasha?
Well, if you think about it, you have someone reaching out for an answer and for help, but saying they're not going to do anything about what they want help for. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you know, she obviously is feeling stuck, but there's enough movement to reach out for help. So you just got to take it day by day, and you will get to a point where you get fed up. You know, neither one of us, nobody here can initiate that for you. You will get to a point. You want to just keep eating the food? You will throw up at some point. You will make yourself sick. No one here is going to gag you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The relationship, it already feels like a job that you don't want to do anymore. When you find someone wanting to give up something, that's when they start feeling like the thing they thought they enjoyed becomes a job they don't want to do anymore. And that's when they reach out and they will say something like, hey, so they'll say something pretty, what they feel is like small within the question, like, how did you stop drinking? But they're not asking for you. They're asking for them.
Right.
They want a big sweeping change. They just don't know how to do it. And the same thing with this relationship thing. It feels like you're like, I don't want anyone else. I want him. But
he's a nightmare.
Yeah, he's forcing you to write us. He feels like a job. And so he doesn't sound like it's worth, he doesn't seem worth it from our end.
What else does she ask?
So second, she says, two, terrible first date experiences. Met a guy, had coffee, seemed okay, so agreed to a second date. He called to arrange it and said, I have a 2-for-1 shopper docket. I guess you would call him a coupon. For a cheap dinner, my mom gave it to me. This man was 40 years old. I declined his offer. So she doesn't like men with coupons.
No. That's not it. You know, there's such a sexier way to present that and go about it. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
Come on.
You can have a coupon, but you don't advertise the coupon.
Exactly. I mean, that's ridiculous.
You slide the coupon in at the end, or you take it to the waitress when you leave the table to take care of the check, and then you hand the coupon. But you don't say, hey, I've got a coupon. I love a discount date. I've got a coupon. You don't lead with the coupon.
2-for-1? It's terrible. It's like saying, well, you're only coming with me because I'm getting a deal for one, but you can come. Who wants that? That's terrible. I mean, the way he's presenting it, I'm so turned off. It's just like a bad smell. Like, get away from it.
That's yeah.
Pretty good. And three, Pat, be careful with Kane's advice about getting a drink with Shonda and letting her whinge about the boyfriend. You may quickly slip into the friend zone and can never go out, or worse, be like Connor and Anna's situation, and he's just not that into you. Love you all. Love the podcast. You keep me company on my runs. From Tammy in the Gold Coast of Australia. Right on. Well, thank you, Tammy, for the question. And then we got one in a DTBFF podcast on Instagram from Elle, and she wants to know, what's the deal with ghosting?
I think it's become an accepted behavior. And now that it's got a name, it's a thing people do. They just go away. You know, it's obviously a fear of confrontation and a fear of taking responsibility for your side of the relationship. And so you just bail.
I mean, I think, and of course, there's always exceptions. Holes can be poked in anything. Ghosting is not no contact. When you go no contact with somebody, it's just with somebody that cannot respect your boundaries, and you're prioritizing your mental health and you're cutting contact. Ghosting is a completely different thing. And I think that it really just has to do with the person and where they are at as far as their emotional intelligence and maturity go. You know, I have a lot of people telling me, I can't believe it. I'm not even worth a call. I'm not worth a text. How could this happen? And, you know, I've been a really selfish, terrible human being in my life because I hated myself, not because people weren't good enough for me. You know, I never thought, oh, Joe isn't worth a call back. He's only worth a text. Or, you know what? I'm just going to ghost him. He's not even worth that. I did whatever was best and easiest for me because I felt worthless. So, you know, it's just somebody taking that route because they don't have the psychological tools to do anything else, and it's the easiest way for them to deal with it. And, you know, unfortunately, it hurts if you're on the receiving end of it, but all you can do is understand that it has absolutely nothing to do with you.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
This is fun. It was a fun episode.
Natasha, how can people get a hold of you?
Thank you guys so much for having me on.
For your coaching and all that.
Oh, yeah. On natashadamo.com. All of my social media handles are just my name, Natasha Adamo. And thank you guys so much for having me on. I love you guys. I love being here. I want to come on more often.
Yeah.
And next time I come on, I'll have my readers write to you guys as well. I would absolutely love that. But thank you.
No, that'd be great.
Yes. You can follow the show at DTBFFpodcast on gmail.com. Write in DTBFFpodcast on Instagram. If you want bonus episodes, you want to check out a clip from Greg's old talk show, you want to hear us talk about The Bachelor in more depth, Candy, and a little Squirt Squirt, and Dave Downtown get their own shows. If you guys want any of that bonus episode material, you can go to patreon.com/DTBFFpodcast, and you can follow me at Kane Holloway on Instagram. Greg?
Also, we have merch.
It's over on Redbubble, and the link is in the description. The link is also in our bio on our Instagram, so you can click on that show link. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you can get notebooks and t-shirts and buttons. We're going to have a Greg sticker, always be blocking Greg
pillows.
Pillows. Always be blocking gray sweatpants are coming. They are actually going to be here. And it'll be the first pair I buy. So yeah, go to redbubble.com or you can hit the links. And follow Greg.
At It's Gregers on Instagram.
Can I say one last thing?
Yeah.
I really do think, this sounds so just cliche and dumb, but I really do think everyone has a book in them. Writing a book is not, oh, it needs to be published by a huge publisher. Oh, I've got to, you know, spend all this money. We live in a time where it is easier than ever to get a book out there, get it on Amazon, you know, publish your work. And we all have stories in us, and there is so much catharsis in sharing your story. When you try to live up to a standard of perfection, the world will always seem so cut off from you and everything will seem like it doesn't have color. And when you can stand in your own kind of story and your own shame and all the bullshit that's happened to you, it's a beautiful thing because it starts connecting you with people who are meant to be in your orbit. And Greg, I have not had the easiest experience as far as my book has gone. And the best decision I ever made was having you edit it. You are truly incredible. And I know your sales speak for themselves. So if anyone is interested in writing a book, please contact Greg. He's in a class of his own.
Oh, my God. You're so kind. Thank you. That was amazing. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, if you want any coaching work done from Greg and Natasha, again, those links are in the description.
You coach as well, Kane, too.
Oh, I coach all right. and as we always say, don't take bullshit from fuckers.
Fuck 'em.
Hey there. If you like the show, you can find bonus episodes and more at our Patreon at patreon.com/DTBFFpodcast. And then rate the show 5 stars on iTunes because it's the right thing to do. All music by The Rating Monarchs, produced by Patrick Kelly.